On the feature today, Jeff Durham talking about opposition from the abortion lobby to Cassie and Molly's law.
It's very difficult to see someone like Joyce Arthur, who's supposed to stand up for women's rights and the choices of women, completely neglect or not do so for Cassie. I realize, though, that the ARCC and Joyce Arthur aren't pro-choice. They are only pro-abortion.
In the news, ARPA is about to launch a tour of Alberta, talking about Bill 10, the new school transgender guidelines. A look ahead to this year's March for Life in Ottawa, using International Women's Day to talk about sex-selective abortion. And Cardis snags another big name.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
ARPA is about to launch a 5-city tour of Alberta to talk about the implications of the government's new guidelines on dealing with transgendered students in schools. Those guidelines were published earlier this year, and all schools in the province, including private and Christian schools, have been given till the end of this month to submit their specific action plans to the government on how they will implement the new policy. ARPA's executive director, Mark Peniga, will be on the tour with legal counsel Andre Schutten. Peniga says there's a historical context here that needs to be taken into account.
It was back in 2013 when Andre and I did a cross-country tour on the Loyola Supreme Court case and that whole issue of who owns our children, you know, the state or parents. And we went through Alberta as well, and I can see why a lot of folks in Alberta might have thought, yeah, it matters, but it's a bit distant. I mean, we're talking about a case coming out of Quebec. And then the next year, our tour focused in part on the Trinity Western Law School case. And again, I can see, yes, it dealt with education. We were talking to Albertans, but again, kind of distant. Now things have hit much closer to home. We've got these educational guidelines. Every school in the province is being asked to adopt them, to change their policies to conform to them. So suddenly things have become very real to Albertans.
As to how this whole thing will play out, Peniga says the tour will focus on empowering people to lobby the politicians in Edmonton. There'll also be a discussion of when and how Christians can legitimately engage in civil disobedience.
We can only respect civil authorities as long as they do not require us to actually undermine our faith, to go against what God calls us to do. But we have to keep in mind that civil disobedience only comes into effect when we have no other option. And right now in Alberta, we do have still political options. So being able to reach the Alberta legislature and implore them to change course, that's still, there's still much we can do. We're going to talk about that in this tour. And then also legal opportunities.
Ultimately, though, he says if the government can't be convinced to change its mind on this issue, it will likely end up in court, either as a suit initiated by a school fighting for its religious freedom, or even in a case where the government might try to prosecute a school for not living up to the guidelines, which would then necessitate a legal defense.
It's very well possible that schools already at this point will say, hey, a line's already been crossed. We're being told to do something which we, in good conscience and according to our faith, can't do. And they'd have every right to take the Alberta government to court. We do not know if that's going to happen in the short-term future. But my sense of what's happening on the ground is I would expect that before most parties would consider doing that, they're going to see what the province does. They're going to see how the province responds to the policies that the schools do share with the province.
Lots more information about the tour at the ARPA Facebook page. We can tell you the dates, April 11th, 12th, and 13th in Coaldale, Calgary, and Pinoca, and then the 14th and 15th in Edmonton and Nearlandia. Other news, they're getting ready for the March for Life in Ottawa in May. Campaign Life Coalition putting on the event again, but this year there's a change in the marketing. More than ever before, the CLC is openly acknowledging and welcoming other pro-life groups like ARPA and We Need a Law, even in their marketing material for the march itself. That's never been done before, certainly not to this extent.
Even though Campaign Life Coalition is the organizer of the March for Life, this year in particular, with the Trudeau victory, we needed to make a clear and decisive message to the government to say that the pro-life movement from sea to sea is here responding to a radical pro-abortion agenda. So by getting other groups involved and naming them and hopefully their cooperation in disseminating the message, we're hoping that the line that it's settled, that this social issue is settled, that will die a good death. In fact, abortion is not a settled issue. The more Canadians learn about the situation with the unborn, the more pro-life they are.
Campaign Life's Joanne Brownrigg says there's something else we can expect from this year's event as well. The usual media indifference and underrepresentation of the number of people who actually show up.
We know for a fact the RCMP has told us that we are the largest single protest group other than a gathering on Parliament Hill for Canada Day, where they will top 100,000. We are around 25,000 for the last couple of years.
March goes on May 12th, concurrent with ARPA's biennial God and Government Conference that same week. Speaking of the pro-life cause, we need a law used International Women's Day last week to once again bring attention to the issue of sex-selective abortion. Researcher Anna Nienhuis had an op-ed posted at lifenews.com in which she wrote, among other things, quote, "Canada, by default, supports sex-selective abortions. Our governments, past and present, are unwilling to address a status quo that allows abortion simply because the preborn child is a girl. Women's rights begin in the womb, and sex-selective abortion is an affront to the dignity and equality of women and girls." Here's Anna.
Justin Trudeau, just this week again, was telling the UN how much progress still needed to be made, and he's such a feminist and so pro-women, and then at the same time, he's unwilling to talk about sex-selective abortion or about women who are in crisis pregnancies and don't have the support that they need, and just completely unwilling to talk about the issue of abortion, even though in so many ways it harms women.
And she says, don't kid yourself, lots of baby girls are being aborted in Canada just because they're girls. Some of that based on ethnic and cultural considerations. Boys are considered more valuable in some cultures. She says that's actually led to some strange realities when it comes to ultrasounds for pregnant women.
There are areas in the country that are very hesitant to give you the gender of your baby when you're pregnant too early. They don't want to give it to you because they know it's still an issue in their area. I've been told that myself when I was pregnant. Certain areas, they're very reluctant to tell you what gender the baby is.
We link to the full op-ed piece she wrote from the Lighthouse News homepage. And one thing more this week, our friends at Cardis are expanding again, kind of. Last week we told you about their new partnership with the Institute for Marriage and Families Canada, how they're basically taking that group over from Focus on the Family. Well, now there's word they're taking on a new high-profile research fellow, Dr. Andrew Bennett. You may recognize the name. He'd been appointed by Prime Minister Harper a few years ago as Canada's Ambassador for Religious Freedom. The new Liberal government's been talking about eliminating that position. They'll make a decision by the end of this month. Dr. Bennett has now stepped into a role with Cardis as chair of the Cabinet of Canadians for Cardis's Faith in Canada 150 program. That's a program where Cardis plans to engage Canadians about faith in the context of the country's upcoming 150th birthday celebrations. Dr. Bennett's new position is described in the Globe and Mail as voluntary and unpaid. Back with more after this.
Hey, Alberta supporters. Do you have concerns and questions about the Alberta government's new plans for education and gender policy? Join ARPA Canada as we discuss the latest promotion of radical secular ideologies on all schools in the province. Our presentation will speak to a compassionate Christian response to transgenderism and the possible need for respectful civil disobedience. Join us in Coaldale, Calgary, Pinoca, Deerlandia, or Edmonton from April 11th to 15th. Visit arpacanada.ca for event details.
And we're back on the program. It's been about a month now since Saskatchewan Conservative MP Kathy Wagenthal introduced Cassie and Molly's Law. That's her private member's bill that would invoke special criminal sanctions against people convicted of injuring or killing an unborn baby in the commission of an offense against the mother of that baby. The law was prompted in part by the Molly Matters campaign in Windsor, Ontario. That case involved the murder of 31-year-old Cassandra Cake. She was bludgeoned to death, and the house she was in was set on fire. She was 7 months pregnant at the time with a daughter, Molly. Police arrested a suspect in the murder, but he was only charged with one count of murder, that of the mother. There's nothing in Canada's criminal code recognizing that a second life was lost in that murder. And that's what Cassie and Molly's Law tries to address. We thought this would be a good time to catch up with Molly's father, Jeff Durham, to talk about what's transpired in the month since the private member's bill was introduced. Jeff is on the line from his home in Windsor. And, sir, I want to start by asking you, what have things been like since Mrs. Wagenthal introduced the bill.
Oh, the response has been good from individuals. People seem to be getting it a little more and more, and awareness is growing. Unfortunately, the press seems to be slow to see that this bill is about women's rights just as much as it is about a baby. And I'm a little disappointed that it's not being talked about in such a way.
Has the Molly Matters campaign generally gained some momentum since Kathy introduced the bill? I mean, you know, it was fairly high profile in the Windsor area when it started out, but now, is there a sense that this is going national a little more?
I think that comes down to the media again, the same thing. They, you know, national a little bit, like there was something in the Toronto Sun, and the momentum for our campaign is continuous, right? We haven't stopped. So it's kind of hard to quantify it. People are beginning to see, though, I think that this is a pro-justice thing, not anything from abortion politics, and hopefully that understanding will grow even more with time. There's still a lot that needs to be done for awareness, and I'm hoping to talk to more members of Parliament.
But, you know, it's being painted as abortion politics in some quarters. I mean, I follow Molly Matters on Facebook, and I see that there's a fair bit of public back and forth with Joyce Arthur from the Abortion Rights Coalition, for example. She's trying to make the case that the bill creates fetal rights and, you know, creates the slippery slope to restriction of access to abortion. You've been pretty busy trying to counter that argument.
Oh, that's been a very frustrating part of it for me, because it's very difficult to see someone like Joyce Arthur, who's supposed to stand up for women's rights and the choices of women, completely neglect or not do so for Cassie, and to say quite the contrary, that we need to ignore Cassie's choice. It's been very difficult. I realize, though, that the ARCC and Joyce Arthur aren't pro-choice. They are only pro-abortion. And I think this fact is revealing itself. And it's pretty telling that in the 10 years since Bill C-484, Joyce Arthur really has done nothing to address the situation when it comes to protecting pregnant women. And every time something like this comes up, she's against it, no matter what it is. I hope people realize that, because I think people take a lot from her, and it's unfortunate that it's not what it seems and how she's presenting it, and the whole slippery slope thing. Then these ideas are just ideas, and if anybody actually, the people who can read the bill and let it speak for itself instead of having Arthur do so, they would see that it is what it exactly is, you know, advertised to be. It's ironic, really, that she doesn't want to protect Cassie's choice or the choices of any women in this situation.
You said you're having increasing dialogue with various MPs. Do you sense that this bill is getting some fairly broad support across party lines? I mean, I know you've got a couple of NDP members out there. You certainly have their attention. Kathy Wagenthal is conservative. I mean, how's that part of the piece going?
Well, I mean, since the bill's been introduced, I've only talked to a couple members of parliament directly about it. I hope that all members of parliament take the time to see that this is an important issue that shouldn't be disregarded or dealt with within the bounds of any political comfort zone. This is a crime against both life and choice, and something needs to be done. And I'm hoping that it has nothing to do with party lines or anything like that, because it's not about that. It's about protecting women when they need it most. It's about violence against women, and it's about a woman's right to choose.
Jeff, this has been personal for you. I mean, Molly was your child. If there's one thing you could say to people, be it those MPs or just, you know, folks generally, about this whole campaign, what would it be?
Well, I keep saying it again and again. Molly was Cassie's choice. Molly was my daughter. Molly was our family. And there's no logical reason that this should be ignored, that justice should be overlooked. And what we have here isn't justice, not for Cassie, not for Molly, not for our family. But Molly was Cassie's choice, and people need to realize that.
Sir, we'll keep following this. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.